Welcome to the EntrePastors Podcast. This show helps pastors think, act, and thrive as prosperous entrepreneurs. And now, here are your hosts, Les Hughes and John Sanders.
Well, hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the EntrePastors Podcast. My name is John Sanders. I'm one of the co-founders of EntrePastors, as well as a co-host to this podcast. I'm flying solo this week as my friend and business partner, Les Hughes, is out on the golf course. He is enjoying the life of an EntrePastor, getting to have some margin in his life, doing some things that refresh his soul, revive him, and I'm happy for him. Because I don't want to be on a golf course anyway, because I don't golf. Can never get the ball past that windmill and the clown face. That's always a joke I make with Les. He does not understand my lack of love for golf, but whatever. Hey, great having you joining us today, even though we don't have Les with us. We're going to have a great conversation. This is episode number 62, and the title of the show is Storytelling as a Profession. And I'm excited to introduce to you a guest that was introduced to EntrePastors through a former podcast guest. Some of you may remember the show we did with Katie Horner. Katie and her family are missionaries in Mexico, and they tell the awesome story of transitioning what is generally a very, it's not uncommon to struggle financially in that space as a missionary when you're supported by other people, and they turned that into more of an entrepreneurial venture where they're just thriving with some really cool things. Anyway, Katie told us about today's guest. Her name is Kay Helm, and she's like, you got to meet her and hear what she's working on. Kay, as you're going to find out, is a storyteller, and she has for years been not only sharing other people's stories, now she's helping other people share their stories as a way of fundraising for the work that they feel called by God to do in this world. And really cool. She's going to talk about ghostwriting. She's going to talk about copywriting and just how she is thriving as an entrepreneur in ministry work. So this is really cool stuff. Can't wait for you to hear from Kay Helm. Check this out. Okay, welcome to the EntrePastors Podcast. It's so great to meet you and to have a conversation with you.
John, thank you so much for having me. It's a real joy to be here.
Yeah, so I've got a ton of questions I want to dig into with you here. We were introduced, we found out once we got on this call, we were introduced by a mutual friend, Katie Horner, who has been a guest on the EntrePastors Podcast. But let's start, first of all, I'm curious, where in the world am I speaking to you today? Where do you live?
I'm in Williamsburg, Virginia, the colonial capital.
There you go. So tell us a little bit about your involvement in ministry as it pertains to, you know, the pastoral world, the church world, the missionary world. We'll get into the business side of it because I see that as ministry as well. But when people generally think ministry, they think, you know, church, missionary, pastor, whatever. So give us a little bit of your background story into your involvement in ministry.
Yeah, sure. In 2005, I went on a missions trip as the photographer and storyteller for a team, and we landed in Uganda, and I was running around with my camera and my gear, which is more on the pro side than what people were used to seeing. And one of the members of the ministry there came up to me and said, "What are you doing? I can see that you're a professional. So what are you going to do with all of this?" And I told him I was collecting stories that I wanted to share with the people back in the U.S. And he said, "What type of story will you share about us?" And I asked him, "What do you want me to share?" And he kind of took me under his wing, and he taught me a lot about the stories that people tell about other people in other cultures and how it affects them on their side. And I learned a lot. And he would actually pick me up in the morning and take me on these photo shoots and led me to stories and helped me tell stories. And I learned a lot from him, really about this point of view that we have when we tell stories and the effects that they have, the ripple effects, sometimes the intentional effects, sometimes the unintended effects of the stories that we tell. And it was like a college education, you know, in nonprofit storytelling right there, working with this gentleman. And I took that and began to tell stories. And I knew that the Lord was leading me into this storytelling type of realm, but didn't know exactly what it looked like. I was in video. I had a background in broadcast television and marketing from my career, which was a little bit on hold because of an injury to my hands that I had had, which got healed. So I was just coming up out of that. Also on that trip, though, we were tapped to help 500 children by feeding them an extra meal a day, one more meal than what they were getting, and paying school fees. And so we came back and we started a nonprofit. So 2005 is when I got involved in nonprofit work and in ministry in that way. And we ran a sponsorship program for several years. Later in 2014, we phased that out because of a mutual agreement and some changes on the ground there, and began to do mental health training because of a connection that I had at my local church with someone, a psychologist there that had been working internationally for years. And so we began to do mental health training, and we continued to do that. I'm still involved with that ministry. We go around the world and we do basic training in mental health and counseling skills. But I was responsible for the fundraising. I remember my pastor sat me down. I was also the media director for the church for several years during this same period. And so being on church staff, I got all the church development type of things, all the staff development and training and discipleship that our pastor was doing there. He's a wonderful leader, great coach. And so I grew a lot in that area. But through this, when we started this thing in 2005, 2006 with these children, he sat me down and he knew I would try different things and kind of bounce off of them and just kind of see what stuck. And he said, you know, this can't be a hobby for you or children will die.
Wow.
And this can't be just something you're trying out or children will die. And when you talk to people about this, you have to really, you're going to have to be strong and you're going to have to be hit them in an emotional way or children will die. I mean, he just sat me down and had this talk. No pressure, right?
Right. That's pressure.
Yeah. And so, So I really dove in. I started taking nonprofit management courses and all kinds of things, just trying to equip myself for the job ahead. So I learned a lot very quickly, connected with experts around the world on how to help children, and then did the same thing when we switched to mental health and just learned a lot. I went back to school, got a master's in counseling. And so I believe in equipping yourself for the job. What skills do I need to learn? And I'll go out and find them somewhere. Who can I learn from? And I'll sit under someone for a spell and learn from them. And so that's basically what my ministry journey has been like.
All right. So I got a question for you. Here's what I'm hearing you say is that you had a full-time career in broadcasting and it was a little bit on hold in this season of your life, but you jump into a missions trip. You recognize a need that's there. You come back, you start a nonprofit. So am I hearing a story of someone that's transitioning into more quote unquote full-time ministry, as we would call it in the church world growing up? Like, is that what's happening in this season of your life? Or are you still having a career somewhere else and building this kind of on the side? Like, what's happening at that point of your career?
Well, I mentioned I had an injury and that ended the broadcast career as I knew it, you know, working for another company. And so outside of church work, after that, I really haven't worked for anybody.
Gotcha.
So there was a lot involved in that particular injury. That's a whole nother line. But I continued to do things on the side. I did web design, including for our local, we have a weekly newspaper in the community that I was living in then. And yes, I continued to work with business people. I love hanging out with business people, which is I like the way they think.
Yeah. But, yeah. So. Well, and that's what I'm hearing too, before we even hit record, like you're an entrepreneur. I'm getting that sense very quickly. So, and that's why this is a perfect interview for Entre Pastors, because it's really, where do those two worlds meet? A heart for the kingdom and building the kingdom and, you know, being in that space, but you know, how do you also do it in a way that's profitable? And, you know, as entrepreneurs, we have a lot of ideas. And earlier I heard you mention you've got a lot of different things going on. I love that because I am a both and kind of thinker. I don't generally yes. just do just one thing. I've got lots of things going and I like life that way. I'm an entrepreneur. So anyway, so tell us, bring us into a little bit more modern past, you know, or the present. What are you working on now? I mean, I know it's a big jump from 2005 to where we are, but let's keep going with the story and bring us up to present day.
Okay. Well, I'm still involved with the ministry, but I have pulled back a lot. I don't travel as much. There was a time where I was gone for about 6 months out of the year. But now I'm home most of the time, almost all of the time now. And I'm working on putting those programs online because that's the thing I've been learning. Really, I learned it for my business, how to create courses, and taking the mental health training so that we can get that out into more people's hands electronically. And that's a big project. It's 40 hours of training. So that's the ministry wow. work that I'm doing. If you wanted, you know, put the ministry frame around it, the things that are official ministry type right. of things. Business-wise, though, I've expanded into a new area. I started in 2020 as a ghostwriter.
Okay.
And that, again, sparked by a conversation with my pastor. He called me up and he said, what are you going to do? You know, 2020 is happening. and what are you going to do? And I threw out some ideas and he said, well, what would your dream job be? And I said, ghostwriting. And honestly, I can't tell you where that came from because I hadn't really thought about that before wow. and didn't have the first idea of how does one go about really making a business of ghostwriting. And a couple of days later, Nick Pavlidis, who you've had on this yep. program, announced that he was doing ghostwriter training school. And I knew Nick. He's been on my podcast a couple of times. I've been involved in another group that he's in. And so I knew him, I trusted him. And at the same time, the stimulus check showed up. So
there you go.
That was a no-brainer. Yes.
Awesome. So you jumped into ghostwriting, and that's one of the things we, as you heard, mm-hmm. you know, we encourage pastors down that road. Not that we believe in one cookie cutter size thing fits all, but for sure. some pastors, it's a natural thing. Pastors write a lot. Some pastors really love writing, and it's a big part mm-hmm. of what they do. So if they're looking for additional income, it's a great way to go. How has that been for you? Tell us a little bit about the ghostwriting journey. How's business there?
Oh, that's been great. I very quickly connected. I've been a part of the Fully Funded Academy program, and they are coming out with a book, and I helped them put together the first draft of that book. Of course, they're phenomenal writers on their own, but they had a lot of material to consolidate and to put into that book form. And so I helped with that. And normally you wouldn't talk about your ghostwriting clients as actually who they are, but they've allowed me to do that, thankfully. Yeah. But that was my first client. And
That's
it was
awesome.
Just right, you know, at my heart. They're helping missionaries and helping ministries raise the funds that they need. So it was perfect fit for us. And since then, I've written two other books for clients. So
that's great. And can I ask this? You don't have to give numbers, but in terms of income, you know, is that something that has been substantial income as a ghostwriter? Because we tell our audience all the time, it is a very significant source of income if you get into it and charge what you're worth as a good ghostwriter. I mean, there's a lot of mm-hmm. upward mobility there. So have you found that to be the case with your career?
Yeah, there is. What I've done is I've followed Nick's pattern of you know, starting kind of low as I learned with what I was comfortable charging for the work that I was doing, and then I've basically doubled it every time I did
That's
a
fantastic.
Book. And so now, if I did two books a year, I would have my needs taken care of. So
say that louder for the people in the back. There were a few people that weren't listening. So say that one more time. If you just got two writing projects a year, it would cover your expenses and your needs.
That's exactly incredible. Right. Two books a year ghostwriting. And it's a lot of time, but as you get your systems and things, you get better at it and you're just adding more and more value to your clients. And, but it's good income. Yeah.
We love Nick and his school is phenomenal. And by the way, this is a shameless plug, but on our webpage, entrepastors.com, we have a resource page where we have a link to Nick's writing school, and it is an affiliate link. So whether it's happening or whether you get put on a waiting list, we highly encourage that. It's a great resource if you desire to get into ghostwriting. So
yeah, I second that wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Absolutely. So as you're building this out now, you're starting to see this need in the missionary world, the church world, but specifically missionaries that are trying to raise funding to be supported in their missions endeavors. And you started to see a need there that you are working in as well now, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. At the end of last year, about September, sometime in there, fundraising consultant David Oakes asked me to be a part of an accelerator he was doing. And as we went through this, we saw ministries just blossom, and they were raising more funds than they'd ever raised in that period of the year. But we at the same time, while we saw a couple of them have wild success with that, we also saw some struggling. And what we noticed, the difference between those two groups was their ability to write. And so the ones that struggled to write and present their ideas and what they do in a clear way, they really struggled to raise the funds, no matter what we taught them about, you know, when to send things out. They just struggled with actually putting the pieces together. And in February of this year, that's why I started, as an experiment, I started something called Mission Writers. And that originally, I had the idea of getting writers who already knew how to write that could learn about speaking for missions and learn how missions work, and they would come alongside missionaries and ministries and help them raise the funds. And since then, it's pivoted to where now we're marketing it directly to missionaries. They're the ones that feel the pain, right? The writers don't even know there's a need usually. So that has to be pretty much a one-on-one sale, if you will. But the missionaries, they know they need help. And so we're making that available and we're building that course out. But I've been doing it now for almost a year. We're learning what they need, what they don't need. And the people that are in it are giving me a lot of great feedback. So
I have kind of two levels of interest of what you're doing. One filter, if you will, is your own business. Like I'm always intrigued by people's own entrepreneurial ideas and their endeavors that they're building. But then also, this is relevant to our audience because there are people who listen to us that are serving as missionaries in other countries. And, you know, they might not have all of the ability for legal reasons and cultural reasons necessarily to go start a business in their place, like we encourage our stateside pastors to do. So I'm curious on both accounts, because it's like both parts of that story are very applicable to our community and the people that listen to this podcast. So let's take them in that order from launch. So really, let's have a brief conversation around launching a business, because that's what you're doing. I mean, really, you just keep evolving is what I hear. You just keep evolving. It's not like there's this real clear launch necessarily, but one thing just kind of keeps morphing into the next. But you've had some experience in the past of putting courses online and selling courses online and learning from that, and now you're applying that to your own platform of this Mission Writers course. How's that going for you? I mean, I'll ask the question this way, because I want to really ask something valuable for our community. So like, what would be some advice you would give to someone else that's out there that has an idea, that has a course or a service that they could provide through that teaching? Like, what are some pointers people need to know to be in that space of selling their ideas online that are packaged in the way of a course?
You know, I think a lot of times really we get intimidated. We see everybody out there that's 2 or 3 years ahead of us. And because we are not there yet, we freeze. Yeah. Or there's some little piece of it that's missing that just paralyzes us. And so I would say it's really helpful to get a guide. You know, we have that connection with Katie Horner. She was my guide for learning how to do that. And that just helps you to move more quickly with confidence, but also the confidence in what you know, because the people behind you don't need you to know everything. You can learn right alongside them, really, as long as you just stay a couple of steps ahead of them. You don't really have to be further ahead. If you're too far ahead, you get that whole curse of knowledge thing where you're talking so far above them, you forgot what it was like to be a learner.
That's
so
good.
You don't need to be that far ahead.
Also, you can, when you're so far ahead, it almost, there's such a gap between you and the people you're wanting to serve that they look at you and go, I could never do that. Because they have this perception that, oh, they're so much further. So I do think there's value in still being in that, at least remembering that scrappy startup phase of what it was like to be in that place of, you know, hustle and hunger at times, because it makes you very much more relatable to the people you're trying to serve. That's good.
You think too about positioning yourself, you know, as a guide more than as an expert. You may be an expert because it's good to have an expert guide, right? But a guide also implies you have that relationship that I'm going to be able to communicate with you and meet you in your place of need. And that's a great thing for your customers. Your customers are looking for a guide, I think, more than an expert.
Yeah, that's really good. And by the way, I just want to ditto what you said about the value in getting a guide. If you want to do anything, I don't care what it is you're launching or starting, if you can have somebody that has been there, done that, or is at least a couple steps ahead of you and will let you walk beside them, man, there's such value. They can help you circumvent the problems that they had, or, you know, sidestep some of the landmines they might have stepped on. And it's just, there's value in that. So let me ask you this, Kay, because one thing I admire about your story, I'm getting a sense that you don't hesitate to make investments into your growth and development. And I see this a lot. This is one of the things that annoys me about our community. We're trying to help people do better financially, but it's that very need, you know, their need for that, that causes them to have some real limiting beliefs around paying for a guide, because they, you know, maybe have this expectation that, well, it should be free because I'm a pastor and I'm doing the Lord's work, you know, and I don't have any money. So therefore, how about you just give it to me? And, we don't just give stuff away much of the time, and we give a lot, but at the same time, we charge for some of our services and we make no apology for it. So what advice would you give to that person that, you know, that you're telling they need a guide, but they say, well, I found a guide, but the guide wants money. You know, the guide wants me to pay them for their program, their coaching course, whatever. What advice would you give to that person that's in need of the guide?
Well, certainly you want to make sure you're making a wise investment. So make sure you have the right guide. Pray about it.
Yeah.
You know, we do that. We have someone who will advise us in the right way. And we go directly to him and we ask his advice and we go where he leads, right?
There
but, you know, if you're struggling with that, can I pay for it? I'll give you an example. We have the program that I talked about, the fully funded program for missionaries, and the price point on that is actually pretty low, but they actually studied, and if they gave it away, people never showed up for anything.
Yep.
They didn't open up the library. It doesn't cost you anything. You're not that motivated really to see it through.
Yep.
I put pressure on myself when I started Mission Writers in February of this year. Katie was launching her Master Teacher Accelerator program, and it's a higher priced offer, and it was a stretch for me to make that type of investment. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I found the journal from 20 years ago when God was first calling me into this ministry world. And I opened it up and I thumbed through and I really found a page where I had written where I'd been praying and seeking God for direction. And on that page, it says, teach my people to tell my story.
Wow.
And here like you said, I go with whatever's the need is. I adjust, I pivot all the time. And step by step, year by year, 20 years, I went from, that was before I went to Uganda. That was while I was still struggling with an injury. That's why that was while I was in video and all of those things that I'm not really doing now.
Hmm.
So what I might have thought that looked like then is nothing. I would have never imagined what I'm doing now. And yet now what I'm doing is such a perfect fit for me.
That's awesome.
And so following that, now going back to the investment, right, God leads us in different ways. You know, I found that journal at just the time when I was making the decision on whether or not to make that investment with Katie.
Wow.
I'm going to jump into forming this community, not just a course, but a community for missionaries and ministry leaders. And it's someplace I haven't been and I need a guide. And there's that confirmation. And so I just think, be thoughtful about it. Don't just make that I can't afford it, or I'm a minister, therefore I can't XYZ. Don't make that your default answer. Allow the Lord to stretch you. But I tell missionaries all the time, you know, when they're buying my program or when they're buying one of these other programs that helps them raise funds, talk to a donor about it.
Yeah.
You have people, you know, hopefully you have relationship with those people that are supporting you and are investing in you, that are investing in your ministry. And they believe that what you're doing is important. They believe it enough to invest in it. They believe in you and they're praying for you, hopefully, and supporting you in different ways. Go to someone and have that conversation. This is available. It's going to cost this. And here's what I believe it will do for me. Would you help me with that? Would you pay for it for 6 months or would you, whatever the initial commitment is? And I've found that people are willing and they get excited for you. Also, that can add accountability.
Yeah. So, can you share that phrase again that came from that journal? I didn't catch that. I want to write that down. What was that phrase that you had written 20 years earlier?
Teach my people to tell my story.
Wow.
And there were details in there too about how to, not how to teach them, but what types of things to teach them. And I find that that's where I've landed.
Well, you know, one of the things I love about that part, that detail of the story is I often say, because this is an area that our community gets hung up a lot, is around calling. That if I go start a business or do this over here, like I'm abandoning my calling. And it's like, man, the calling can look different in different seasons. And so I guarantee when you read that, you can look back over your life and see how at each step of the way, God has been using you for that calling of, you know, teaching my people to tell my story. Like you're a storyteller for the kingdom and God's given you different points along the journey to hone different skills as part of that. So I love that. I love that theme, that calling is the same, but it looks different from one season to the next. And there's some of our people who need to hear that, you know, and really just embrace that freedom that I'm not abandoning my calling by doing something a little different or doing something in addition to what I've been doing. I'm still serving. I'm still walking in my calling. It's just a new season. It looks different in this season than it did in the last. So love that. So tell us a little bit more about this mission writers. Like exactly what is it? I've heard you say it's a course, it's a community. Give me some more details around that.
Well, what we're doing is we're creating a path for people to communicate about the ministry that they're doing in the world. So what is it that God's called them to do? How are they doing it? What's their vision? What's their mission? And how do they communicate with other people about that? And the idea is that we take you through a year or honestly, I think it would take about 2 years for someone going through this, with the second year being more of a reinforcement and habit forming type of activity, because you're just kind of grasping it in the first year. This is what you do over the course of the year, and not just what you do, but how you do it. So a lot of us share information, but we don't share stories. And stories are really the connecting point. That's the bridge building between what you do over here, especially if you're someplace that people aren't familiar with, and the people that are supporting that work over here on the other side. You have to build bridges with the stories that you tell. And so we teach how to do that, but also it's, like you said earlier, it's copywriting. It's a specialized form of writing. So how do you do that? So we teach you some techniques. We teach you tips, tricks, shortcuts, things to make it easier, that type of thing. And we review what you're doing. And we have a community. That's where the community comes in. So it's not always me that's answering questions. There are other people in there. We have one of our missionaries. He's full-time missionary, but he also used to be a copywriter.
Wow, very cool.
So once a copywriter, always a copywriter, right? So he's excellent and chimes in. And we see people that never thought of themselves as storytellers. Now they are storytelling machines, right? They are just, they see the world differently once you start thinking about, I'm looking for a story and recognizing a story and learning how to see the stories that are happening all around you and then how to tell those. So we're trying to create that habit, but also when you tell what type of story to the people that are supporting you, and then when you just need to flat out ask for money. So you're telling stories and you're creating this connection, you're remaining top of mind, all the different reasons that we tell stories. And then you come to the point where you need to ask. And that ask doesn't feel so much like begging.
Yeah.
If you've been telling stories, and that's what I tell people, if it feels like begging when you're raising money, it's because you're not telling stories.
Wow. That's powerful. That's good. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, hearing you say that, that makes me think this may be a fun conversation to save for backstage. I want to ask you when we go backstage to talk more about how do you find that story? Like, what are some filters, you know, what advice or how do you coach people to be looking for the story where others may just see information or be tempted to just report information? So we'll talk about stories in our backstage segment. But before we transition to that, tell us a little bit more about how people can contact you, or if they want to reach out, if they want to jump into this Mission Writers course that you've got. Like, how do people find you and how do they take action on that?
Okay, the hub for everything that I do is at kahelm.com. That's kahelm.com. And I do have a special page for you with some resources specifically for your audience. And so that's kahelm.com/entrepastors. That should be easy to remember.
Awesome.
And that will include a discount for the next cohort of Mission Writers, which will start in January.
Fantastic. Well, awesome. Kay, it's been a pleasure hanging out with you here and getting to hear a little bit of your story, speaking of stories. And I want to just encourage our audience to do exactly that, to reach out to you, because there are people in our community that would very much benefit from the knowledge that you have and the resources that you have to offer. So we encourage them to do that. And thank you for hanging out. We'll see you backstage here in just a few minutes.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, there you go. Good stuff from Kay Helm. Hey, if you are not yet a Backstage subscriber, I would invite you to go get signed up for that. If you go to entrepastors.com/backstage, you can subscribe to our premium content that we create almost every episode with the podcast here. And as Kay joins me backstage, we're going to go into a conversation about how do you find the story? How do you have that filter in place where you're constantly looking for the stories that need to be told? We also get into a deeper conversation about fundraising around ministry and missions efforts, and it's good talk there. So if you want to join us for more of that, oh, by the way, she also has an offer for our backstage people, another thing that she's offering up for free. So again, we try to deliver value in our backstage material, and we would encourage you to go check that out. But hey, before we sign off, I want to make you all aware of something that is coming up in the month of November. We have got what we're calling our 30-day 10K challenge. And this is for pastors who are striving for financial freedom. We are going to be having 4 weeks of small group coaching calls. We're limiting this to 30 people, and we're going to do a call every Tuesday in the month of November. Well, actually, starting on the second Tuesday of the month. There's 5 Tuesdays in November. So starting on November 8th, we're going to be doing a coaching call every week. And really, our goal is to help you launch your business. We got that 10K challenge as a result of a webinar that we did this past week, where we were telling people the story of how I launched recently a service-based handyman business that has done more than $10,000 in revenue in the first 3 months. And so that's kind of where the 30-day 10K challenge came from. We're not suggesting somehow that in 30 days you're going to necessarily raise 10K, but what we are saying is that in 30 days, we can help you and support you in the process of being ready to launch a business that is capable of doing that. By the way, there's a one-time cost for this, and it's $97. We feel like this is such a valuable offer that we're making, and this is a no-brainer thing. We've got a few bonuses that are a part of the 30-day 10K challenge as well. In addition to those four weekly calls and some of the content that you're going to have access to, we're going to give you a step-by-step guide to discovering your gifts and passions, as well as a one-on-one coaching session to help you really get started in this, as well as two bonus calls in the month of November. We'll let you be a part of our Entre Pastors membership Q&A call that we do, and our Wednesday workshop in the month of November. So there is a ton of value packed into this challenge, and we invite you to go to entrepastors.com/challenge if you want to be a part of it. One-time cost, $97 a month, 30 days of focusing on getting your business up and off the ground. How cool would it be for you to hit the new year running strong on a business that we helped you launch in the month of November? So go check it out. I would encourage you to do exactly that. Hey guys, thank you so much for being listeners to the show. Thank you for being in our community. We're grateful for each and every one of you. If you find the content that we create here valuable, we would invite you to share this with people that you know. That really helps us get the word out, helps us serve more people. So whether you do that through social media or sending somebody a text message going, hey, here's a link, you got to check out this episode. Either way, we'd be grateful if you would just share the word about Entre Pastors as we are trying to break down that narrative of the starving pastor. We're over that, guys. We're over that idea, that concept, that because you said yes to serving the Lord and serving others, that you also said yes to being broke and barely getting by financially. That's a silly model. We're done with it. We're helping pastors all over find financial freedom through entrepreneurship and business. So thanks for being with us. God bless each and every one of you. We will see you on the next show. Have a great week.